cool with myself and to treat myself like I would treat, like it's a roommate. I have a roommate and he pays the bills. He's annoying. Maybe he bugs me, but he pays the rent, so he can stay. You know, and that.
Awe Genge, this is Mental Matters, hosted by Asago Toto.
As I've said, that ADHD is something that I'm not familiar with that much. So can you, please can you give our listeners a brief about ADHD or an overview of what ADHD is and how it has impacted your life?
Oh, sure. Oh my God. Yeah. And just so everyone knows, I'm not a science person. So a lot, I can speak to it from like my human experience and from my book knowledge, but the you know, you hear a lot about like chemicals in the brain and the dopamine and things like that, and that sort of stuff gets a little bit lost on me, I think. But the way that I experience it is, it is you know, you hear about it, it's an executive function issue where like I can know what I want to do and I can know how to do it, but for some reason, I'm unable to move forward to do it. I'm missing that something in the brain that allows me to move forward on things, and it often gets complemented with the laziness, right? Because you're like it's being unable to do a thing that you know how to do and that you've done before, but because it doesn't have like some intrinsic novelty to it or urgency to it or you know, natural joy for it. Yeah. It's like it's a missing limb, you know. It's like there's just this weird void that requires a set of tools and then sometimes medicinal support to motivate to move forward. And so, like how I've experienced it in life is, you know, as a kid, I would do my homework, but I would just not turn it in. I would just forget to turn it in. There's a lot of forgetfulness to it. Later in life, the biggest thing that I can recall of how it impacted me is when I was married, there would be just things, you know, that you do as a homeowner, you know, cleaning out your garage. And I would remember standing there staring at my garage and going, I don't even know where to start. And literally I would stand there and I would start to spiral, which is the real sad component of ADHD, which is this spiraling of self-loathing, of I'm such a piece of garbage that I can't even do a simple thing like cleaning up. And so the debilitating aspect of it, as I've experienced it, is depression. And additionally, I don't know if I'm not diagnosed with rejection sensitive dysphoria. I don't know that that's a thing that you get diagnosed with, but it's a, for lack of a better word, I get butthurt really. I can get really offended by an injustice, and I can go from zero to like, oh my God, what's going on? And that's historically, people with ADHD will, you know, they will impulsively leave a job. They'll impulsively quit, or they'll impulsively do things because of an inability to inhibit that loud emotional response. So that was a big, long ramble. Did that help at all?
It did answer actually my question. And also, I would like to know that at what point in your life did you realize that you had ADHD?
Oh, yeah. For me, it was right when I was getting divorced. So I was basically, we were in couples therapy trying to, you know, work on the marriage. And the therapist was like, did you ever consider you have ADHD? And I was like, I got really offended by that. Because I'm like, I'm here to save my marriage, all right? I'm not here about something ADHD. But then I go home and I, you know, you educate yourself on it. And you're like, okay, well, what is this thing? And I don't know. Like, you resonate with everything. You kind of, it's a red flag. So I went in and I ended up getting diagnosed. And then a while after, I got diagnosed with depression as well. So it was about, I mean, to date, it's probably been close to 9 years ago.
What symptoms did you recognize after you have been told that did you consider that you have ADHD? What symptoms did you
I read those books by Dr. Halliwell, Delivered from Distraction, Driven to Distraction. I think there's two of them. And when you read a book and literally everything that they're talking about, you're like, oh gosh, yeah.
That's me. It would be me.
Big time. I'm blanking on specifics at the moment, but I can just speak to how I function in the world. That's very ADHD. It's when I can plan for the future. I can say something like, I'm going to do this thing tomorrow, and then tomorrow will come and there'll be tension to it. And prior to me having tools and an ability to deal with it and knowing what it was, I would just not do the thing because it didn't feel right, but it felt off. So I was like, okay, I'll just do it later. And then what I would do is at some point, things in life become highly urgent, right? They become like, well, you're going to get, they're going to shut off your gas, or you're getting all these late fees on your credit card bill, or you're going to lose your job, you know? So those are kind of key indicators for me.
I would say I visited your website, and also as someone who has ADHD, what made you become a coach in terms of helping others that to deal with ADHD? What was your drive?
I'll tell you. So I've always had a purpose. So I did purpose work years ago, where I kind of looked at all of the jobs that I've ever done in my life and what was the aspect of that job that I enjoyed. And so the purposeful aspect that I discovered through that work was that I get a strong sense of purpose by helping people through a struggle. And it was the easiest things. Like there was a time when I was a bellman at a hotel, and I got such a joy out of helping people take their bags to their room. So the rest of the job sucked, but I liked hanging out with people and taking them to their room and talking about their vacation with them. There was always that sense. And then when the COVID pandemic hit, I was posting videos of like supportive videos on Facebook. And this is back when I had social media. I don't have any social media now, but I was posting like things of ways to move our needles forward, ways to nudge ourselves forward, perspectives on life and make things doable, because they were things that helped me. And they were the ways that I responded in the world. And it come to find out, I was talking about things that are very ADHD specific. Like so most of the like the neurotypical world, the world is built on this like, you know, work hard, climb that mountain. When you get to the top of the mountain, you've achieved a great thing. There's going to be adversity, blood, sweat, and tears, and you're going to earn it, and it's going to be hard, and that's how you know it's worth it. And that does not work for ADHD. Like just suck it up and do it is not a thing for ADHD. And so the things that I was talking about were, hey, why don't we change the perspective? Why don't we, instead of viewing it as an uphill climb, let's start the goal at the top of the mountain, and then the goal is at the bottom. And then all it takes to get moving is like a little nudge forward, and then you're rolling down the mountain towards your goal. Things that make things easier for us, metaphorically. And that just kind of snowballed. I was getting a lot of good responses, and that's about the time when I decided, you know what, I'm going to start podcasting about it. And I created a podcast, and then that built up to me wanting to help people. And I think the closest thing that you could call me is a coach, but I don't really subscribe necessarily to like coaching protocol. I mean, I study it, and I've been trained as an integrative wellness coach, but I'm I'm more my own guy. So that's why I call myself a big brother, because I'm going to share my experience. I've traveled the road a little bit. Maybe I'm like 5 years ahead of somebody, and I can be a guide. Do you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. You mentioned something about nudges. So what are some examples of nudges that help you build momentum on difficult tasks? As you know, that as someone who with ADHD, as you've said, that it's hard to finish up tasks. So yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So a nudge would be the ADHD tools, right? So like, let's say you wanted to clean your apartment or clean your house or something, and it's a mess and you just can't motivate to do it. A nudge would be the ADHD tools of planning it in advance. So you say, okay, so tomorrow at 9 o'clock a.m., I'm going to set an appointment to clean. You're being specific about what you're doing. I'm going to clean the living room. You are setting a timer. You're externalizing time by saying, I'm going to clean for 20 minutes. By putting it in a container of time, you're externalizing time, and you know that there's an end. Because for a lot of us, we're time blind. And so the idea of cleaning is like, I guess this is what I'm doing all day today. I guess this is my entire life now. I'm a guy cleaning. It feels dramatic. So by putting it in a container of time makes that easier. And so when the time comes, you set the timer, and the easiest point of entry is the first physical task that you do. In the case of cleaning, maybe it would be like, oh, pick up the coffee mug on the coffee table. And then you set the timer and you do that one task. That task will often build the momentum to continue on. Those are the nudges. A lot of people will feel like that's so remedial and basic, and it makes me feel like an idiot. And I can't speak highly enough about how it's literally just what we're doing in our brain. We don't have to share that with the world. It's the things that neurotypical people are doing. A neurotypical person is going to clean. They're not time blind, so they know they're going to clean for a certain amount of time until they're done. And they are going to go pick up that coffee mug. They don't have to necessarily connect those dots, though.
So I want to get into the topic of self-care and self-acceptance. So you mentioned something like, I think, yeah, how, actually my question is, how does treating yourself like an annoying roommate who pays the rent with, okay, how does of like an annoying roommate who pays the rent help with self-acceptance?
Oh, I think you're talking about the thing that I had been talking about. I've mentioned stuff about self-love and self-care, that kind of a thing.
And
this might be specific to the depression crowd. So I have depressive disorder, and I got overwhelmed by the idea of self-love. You know, in affirmations where you go to the mirror and you tell yourself that you love yourself, and then the mirror just looks back at me and says, no, you don't. You're so full of crap. You don't love yourself. It's very hard to convince yourself of something that you don't fundamentally believe at your core. So my workaround for that is to be cool with myself and to treat myself like I would treat, like it's a roommate. I have a roommate and he pays the bills. He's annoying. Maybe he bugs me, but he pays the rent, so we can stay. You know, and that to me is what I do on my journey to getting to the self-love. I think it would be great to love myself. I think that would be phenomenal. And I think that's the ultimate goal. But it doesn't really necessarily make sense to go from I hate myself to I love myself. Like I wouldn't go to the coworker that I hate and propose marriage to her. I wouldn't be like, will you marry me? I you know, it's like, let's try to find our way there. Like, let's go out on a couple of dates with ourselves first.
In a way, you are saying that it takes time to love yourself. It's just, you don't just wake up one day and say, no, I love myself today. From now on.
Exactly.
I'm going to love myself. And also, you mentioned something that, you mentioned that you don't believe in self-love affirmation. As you said that, okay, now I get it, because is the fact that, so I believe, so as you said, that the crowd who have, who suffer from depression, as you said, that they look in the mirror, try to make themselves say that I love myself, but that thing doesn't work.
It doesn't work
if you don't put in the work, if you don't work on yourself, because it doesn't make sense of keep on saying to yourself in the mirror, I love myself, I love myself. That is not realistic.
You know what I think is better than an affirmation? I did a podcast episode about this a couple years ago, I think. It's called a task formation. Like, what is something that somebody that loves themselves does? What do they do? And it's like, do a task that indicates that you love yourself. Like maybe, what it would be like, you know, obviously cleaning your environment or, you know, like doing some kind of a hygiene thing or doing something like take yourself out on a walk, doing something that a person that loves themselves would do and be like, okay, I'm doing a thing that it's a task formation. It's like, I'm going to get one more data point to give to my brain that says, no, I actually do give a damn about myself.
And I believe that it's hard to have that thing of doing tasks, because eventually the thing that I believe that we all struggle with, it's either you have a mental disorder or not. The thing that we all struggle is consistency, as you said, doing those tasks. Then at some point that you are very lazy today, you don't want to do it, and you are afraid of pushing yourself because you are too comfortable in this place that you are in it. So I believe that it's hard, and I want to talk on the accountability part. That we all struggle with is accountability. It's accountability.
Yeah.
We don't have someone that is looking after us. So in terms of helping clients, in what ways does daily accountability help members stay on track with their goals?
Yeah, so that's like, so the ADHD Big Brother community, like that was born out of that very idea. So the way that we do it in the community is we don't have a problem letting ourselves down, right? So it's really hard to be accountable to ourselves, at least in the beginning, when we historically have years and years and years of letting ourselves down. Like, I'll give up on myself in a heartbeat, you know? Like, I'm not going to do the workout today because I don't care. Well, what am I going to do? Get mad at myself? I already don't like myself. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not hard to let myself down. But it's really hard to let somebody else down.
Yeah.
You know, there's an aspect of being like, I made a promise to you that I was going to do something, and it'll hurt me if I let you down. So what we do in the community is we all post a thing that we're going to do that day, like one thing that we're going to do, and we all kind of support each other. We all like, and it can be anything from like, I'm going to do the laundry today, to I'm going to apply for a job, or I'm going to turn in these reports at work, or it runs the gamut from very, very basic to I've got to move the needle forward on this big project or whatever.
Yeah.
But we gamify it in there. We make it like, if you get 7 days in a row, there's a badge that we're all, we call it becoming a skull spaghetti master. That's because that's how I view my brain. It's just a bunch of skull spaghetti. So, but it makes it a bit one level more doable, right? We're trying to stack the deck in our favor to moving the needle forward. As we're learning these habits, like, I've got, there's people in my community that have done the thing that they said they were going to do for over 100 days. And that, to me, is monumental. That's such an achievement for somebody with ADHD who would so willingly just be like, what's one more day of not doing a thing? I'll just not do it. Who cares? Right? So it helps with that consistency.
Yeah. And also, like, and also, as someone who, and I don't know about America, but here in South Africa, we struggle to find communities like yours, communities that are willing to help people in that way. Because on my side, I don't believe on doing online things. I like these physical things, because at some point when I have to have my own community, whereas I can vent to my brothers, and I know that the sibling community won't judge me in some way or won't laugh at me, as you know, as men we are afraid to to talk about our feelings. So what advice would you give others to others looking to find an accountability community?
Well, you nailed it. If it's in person, it's who are the people that are not going to judge you? Who are the you? It's finding a shame-free community where you can express yourself, you can share your struggles, and even though they may feel remedial in the moment. You know, it's really hard. We were joking, so by all means, come check out the ADHD Big Brother community. That's all we are in there is ADHD folks. But we were joking in one of our Zoom chats in there that I was struggling because I'm recently coming out of a depressive episode, and I finally chose to get onto depression medicine just because I needed the help, and so I'm just coming out of this depressive episode. And I'm struggling with doing basic stuff for 15 minutes. And on the group chat, one of the members was telling me, he's like, well, maybe instead of 15 minutes, what if you made it even smaller? What if you made it a cumulative 15 minutes over the week? And so it's only about doing it for 2 minutes. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. So now during this week, I'm only, my goal is 15 minutes, but my commitment every day is 2 minutes of cleaning. And so I'm able to make my bed and do more. And more often than not, I clean for more than 2 minutes. But it's the I'm rambling. I forgot where I was going with this. It's the I forgot what I was gonna say about that. This is my brain fart for you. This will usually happen on one or two times when I'm talking to people.
I feel the same way. I'm
like literally staring at the wall.
I feel like that's how I am also, being able to, as I have this podcast and also a YouTube channel. Sometimes, whereas I meant to say a little bit, let's say I time myself to 3 minutes, I end up talking up around 5 to 10 minutes. So I actually understand.
It's sort of like when you start talking about something and then you're also talking about something else and then something else. And then I'm like, I can't remember what the first thing was that I was talking about. It was something about accountability.
Yeah. We are speaking about the accountability. I feel like before we close off, I just want to say, can you share any more words or more words of encouragement to people out there who have ADHD and are afraid to reach certain communities, are afraid to accept that people that haven't accepted don't have ADHD?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the original thing. That was what we were talking about. Is if you can't find somebody, you know, anybody can email me. I respond to all my emails. So if anybody needs just to say, to want to share something or needs a little bit of big brothering or whatever, I'm in service of the community. So you can reach out. I don't charge for emails or anything. So, but in your community, I'm talking about, like, you search, it's hard to find the people in person sometimes, unless, I don't know how it is where you're at, but we have things called meetups or local groups where, people have the same struggle. And it just, it really has to be shame free. It has to be judgment free, because some of the things that we struggle with, we really feel stupid about. And we shouldn't have to feel stupid about it. And I would encourage us not to. It's, if anything, we can laugh about it, but that would be the thing. And those people are out there. So on your journey to finding those people, try to be as cool with yourself as possible.